Welcome to Meet the Management with Stockopedia News, where we put your questions to the companies that matter. Please note that nothing in this podcast constitutes investment advice and is for information purposes only.
We're speaking today with Robert Ware and Preston Rabel, Chief Executive and Corporate Director of the Conygar Investment Company, listed on AIM under the ticker CIC. We last spoke in September 2010, where you gave a comprehensive introduction to Conygar's acquisition history and investment philosophy. You announced your interim results this week, and the year started with another major land bank acquisition in Haverford West and a big share buyback campaign. Could you briefly run us through the key highlights of this week's interim results?
Thank you. I think the key highlights that come out of our first 6 months is steady as she goes. We had a 3% increase in the NAV from 150 pence up to 154. The profit before tax, 3.4 million, albeit less than the prior 6 months. If you actually take out the prior 6 months trading profits, then we're talking about a comparison of 1.1 to 3.4. And that reflects significant cost reductions through cost cutting of when we took over the Advantage Property Income Trust, and we recouponed our interest rate swap, so we effectively brought down the cost of our debt from about 6% down to 3.4 on average. And the full impact of that will come through the second half and obviously going forward. I think the other highlight to really focus on is our cash and our undrawn but committed facilities, so that we've got nearly £100 million for future acquisitions. As you rightly said, we've purchased 86 acres of land at Haverford West. This has got outline planning permission. The in-price cost for the 900 units works out at about £15,000 per unit, and we anticipate a significant uplift to come through this as and when the house builders come back and require our land. The share buyback, we've now actually in the last 48 hours bought over 2 million more shares back in, so we've got over 10% of the share capital that we bought back in, and we've paid on average just under 116 pence per share. The basis of the buyback is really to take advantage of our weak share price and so that the ongoing shareholders benefit from improved and increased NAV per share.
Okay, as you mentioned, you acquired the 86-acre plot in Haverford West. That's one of the most sizable acquisitions you've made in a while. Could you elaborate a bit more on your intentions with this deal?
The intention is very simple. We're now starting the process to get the detailed planning. It's got outline planning. It's zoned for residential. The Section 106 has been agreed, so that's the arrangements that one has with the local authority to do with roads and contributions towards schools and things. And we're now in the process of getting detailed planning. So we would hope to have the detailed planning all sorted out by the end of the year. If you assume an average cost of a house is £150,000, then we anticipate the land will be worth anything from £40,000 to £60,000 per plot. We pay 15, so that's the game.
That's the benefits of having plenty of cash to put to work quickly.
Well, I think it's very clear that had we had to go through any other normal process and not just been in the position to write the cheque, it would have been taken much longer, and maybe somebody else would have come along and got it before we did.
Again, another thing I noticed, you also have acquired a 4.67% stake in a local shopping REIT, which is another listed property company trading at a large discount to its net asset value. How far do your interests go there?
We've made it very clear this is an interesting investment. We bought the shares relatively cheaply. We actually think it's quite well managed. The yield is just over 6%. It's a small investment, and that's as far as I'm willing to go.
Okay. You still have 98 million or so in available cash and financing for other acquisitions. Last time we spoke, we were talking about deal flow. How's that been progressing, and what kind of deals have you been seeing on the table?
We've probably analysed about 30 potential transactions since Christmas, with a range of value between 10 and 200 million. Generally, our sense is in these transactions that the valuation is still far too high. There's a huge difference now between prime and secondary and between London and the rest of the country. And we don't think that an awful lot of these portfolios are there truly valued as far as us investing in them. We don't believe that In a lot of cases, the RVs have been properly assessed, so the estimated rental value, today's rent, in sort of non-property language, because generally I think they're too high. I also think, that with most leases now being for about 5 years, I don't think the vendors have allowed for sufficient capital expenditure on the product and with the tenants in order to get them to stay and then hopefully to extend. So we're having a huge issue in our valuation and the vendors' anticipated thoughts.
So there's still a wide margin between...
There's a wide margin, particularly prime and secondary, and also I think it's clear that there's not a lot that's actually being put on the market. There are billions and billions of pounds of refinancings and deleveraging that has to occur, and I don't think we've actually really seen it start yet. We've all anticipated it for some time, but it's still very slow. It may be that NAMA, one of the first movers, will wait and see, the Irish bad bank effect.
Okay. And is this process something that could go on for, the next 18 months, 2 years? Do you think it's a very long-term deleveraging that we're undergoing? Is it a...
Well, it should happen quickly. Otherwise, I think we're going to have stagflation.
Yeah.
The longer it takes, the worse it's going to be, I think. But it's I'm not running some of these financial institutions, and I'm not quite sure where they are with the BAL 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, however many more we're going to get going forward, and controls on their reserves effectively and how quickly they're able to start to deal with some of this stuff. It may be that an awful lot of it's just sat upon and it just gets refinanced because there's no other way of financing it. There's not a huge queue of banks in the UK at the moment wanting to increase their property exposure.
Because we spoke about that last time, we spoke about the 60 to 80 billion property exposure the banks have, and that they'd have to perhaps deleverage, especially as the government has such large stakes in doing some of the biggest banks in the country. What developments are you seeing in this area?
Preston, would you like to?
I think we have two competing interests here, don't we? We have the banks who are trying to actually build their balance sheets, and quite rightly so. We have the government who are keen, presumably before the next election, to sell off the shares. Now, effectively, the one thing I am actually certain of is that no director of a bank is going to want to sign off on a false prospectus, and I'm sure that will never happen. So effectively, since everybody in the market actually realises that there's a huge sort of bulk of property assets which the banks actually own or have loans to, which are probably a problem for them at the moment, that they actually need to do something with them. Now, a number of portfolios have come on the market, and they haven't achieved the prices that they felt they would, and they've taken a lot of them in-house and managed them through outside agencies or outside agreements or internally. So if the government's going to sell off the shares, then either the banks are going to have to write down these assets to a level where effectively they are valued correctly, or they're going to have to be managed to a level whereby the value of the assets come up to what's in their books at the moment. And effectively, valuations are always necessarily historic. So whatever valuations say, in a year's time, they may be higher, they may be lower, but they're always historic. And so the banks have they've got a lot of work to do, and we're hoping they will ask us to come and help them at some stage to make their path a little bit easier. But it's not easy for them, and I think everybody's waiting for these assets to come up. The question is, who's going to start? I mean, people feel that maybe the Irish will start with NAMA. They've had their election, and NAMA is looking at things and how they're going to process the bulk of assets that they have here. Most people say that outside central London they have about 10 billion possibly, and so what they'll do with that we don't know. As far as the two major UK banks are concerned, we just have to wait and see.
Mm. Yeah, the last thing you spoke, you said obviously your criteria was specifically cash flow, even more than yield, when you're looking at deals. And you mentioned you're quite sort of agnostic geographically. Perhaps you'd like to comment on that.
Yeah, I think it's quite simple that central London has been extremely hot, I think is the right word, over the last year, and will probably continue to be so. It's where everybody from overseas, when they come over here, actually wants to be and is interested in investing their money. So, if there are some good things in central London, we would be very keen to actually get involved. But pricing, as always, is the key, and you know, we're not into gambling. We're into actually doing things which you think are sensible. You know, we don't in the main do residential. If we do things in a residential area, we'll do it with partners who we trust and we know well. And yes, we will look at, you know, anything anywhere where we actually feel that, one, we can get out of it. Secondly, we can add real value to it. And thirdly, that we're buying for the right price. Because we're here to make money for our shareholders. We're not here just to buy things.
Absolutely, which you've done historically with TAP and Le Mans. So we maybe wanted to move on to talking about your current portfolio, where I think there's a rent roll of 12.4 million on your assets, bringing a very good yield, is it?
Just under 8, just 1. Okay. I think the valuation came in flat, as you can see from the results. However, there were some significant sort of improvements, if you like, in the underlying portfolio. Particularly, one of the big voids we had is a new building that we inherited through TAP in Reading. The first floor and a half of this is gone at a very good rent of £21.50. The tenant has an option on further floors, so that's quite exciting. We always take the view that if we've got a void, you do your best to fill it, and we don't argue about the rents particularly. We do argue, of course, very strongly. But you know, the key thing is to actually reduce those voids and get those costs out of our P&L, and you can have a significant impact. So I think we start from the first basis if we like to keep our tenants. No, the worst thing one wants is somebody leaving because they're going somewhere else because they can do a better deal. So we do our best to ensure that people stay with us. And that always means working with them, being flexible with them, helping them sometimes with their, some of their problems. It's quite interesting that our bad debts, for example, and we've got quite a lot of retailers, and they're sort of natural people you'd expect at the moment in this climate to the smaller retailers to have problems. It's about 5%, 0.5% of the rent roll, so it's not much. We had one significant bad debt, and it looks as if the building's now going out to a far better covenant, dare I say it. So I better not tell you who it was. We've sold some of the properties, as you can see in the results, just under £9 million. And they were purely properties that we felt with nothing else we could do, and somebody came along and thought they could do something better. So great.
Yeah.
Recycling. And we will sell further properties as and when, basically, we can or we can't do anything else with them. We're not here to sit on them and do nothing with them. There's no reason to keep them.
So those were disposed from the Le Mans portfolio, which you...
One Le Mans and two TAP,
okay.
Actually. The bulk of it was property in Leicester,
okay.
Which is Le Mans.
Cambridge Road, I think, is the significant one.
Well done, Ed.
Okay, well, maybe we'll move on to the development portfolio, because there are things going on in Wales. You've obviously got this very sizable land banks and marina projects in Fishguard, Pembroke Dock, Holyhead. And I think Cenkos in February put out an end value of 400 to 500 million on this. Perhaps you can give us an update on the projects there.
I mean, generally, what we're aiming to do is to complete the marina planning at both Holyhead, Fishguard and Pembroke Dock, complete them all by the end of the year. In global terms, that'll give Conagher waterside properties, detailed planning waterside properties of 1,200, plus all the additional facilities, whether it be a cinema, hotel, Chandra shops and all the bits and pieces of the retail. And also down at Pembroke Dock, we've got planning for a factory outlet. They're all slightly different. Holyhead, huge project, planning application submitted. So far we've had significant local support. For example, the town council meeting, 17 out of the 18 councillors were 100% behind it. I'm sure we'll have lots of ups and downs as we go along, but actually we're making progress as we thought with that. There's obviously an awful lot of work to do on that. I think I told you the planning application of Holyhead was actually 2,100 pages. I mean, these are massive projects to complete, an awful lot of interested parties and things you've got to get done with environmentals, etc. So that's plodding along, and we're quite sure that sometime this year we'll get that planning sorted out. Park Cubby, which is also at Holyhead, this was basically a piece of land that we've got some options on, and we're seeking to create a lorry park, and if any of your followers actually go onto the local websites up there or the local news, they'll see that huge political interest in this and an awful lot of people wanting at Lorry Park to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it will sometime this year. Little project we picked up for a few hundred thousand pounds in Fishguard. Fishguard's another port that doesn't have proper facilities, in my view, for the lorries and the distribution, the cold storage, etc. And we've actually now got planning to create one just outside the terminal at Fishguard. And we're talking to people at the moment about some pre-let, so that looks, again, something quite interesting. Pembroke Dock, you recall this is a huge project with a big infrastructure cost. What we've actually now agreed with the client group are our partners down there, so they involve the Welsh Government, the Milford Haven Harbour Authority, the Crown Estate, and the Pembrokeshire County Council. So we've agreed a phasing on that, which is very helpful. And again, we're now talking to potential tenants for some pre-lets down there. So that's quite sort of interesting. So there's all progress on them all. And we've talked about Hove West. There's all progress on them all. But impact or value or us cashing up in some form is still some months off. But, you know, we're going through the process. It's very positive. It's very difficult to put all that sort of detail down. You know, I think we've actually explained it pretty well in the results as to how we're doing as far as we're able. Because obviously there's an awful lot of interested parties who may have different views on some of it.
Yeah. Has the Fukushima nuclear disaster had any impact on government plans for a new nuclear power station in Anglesey?
Well, we'll have to ask the government that. Our view is that, and it seems pretty clear, that the old nuclear power station on Anglesey is actually run out of its economic life and probably did some time ago, so that has to be decommissioned, which means there'll be their contracts out. We know people are looking at that now. Whether the new one is built as quickly as everybody anticipated, we're not sure. But actually, we do need more power in this country. In a few years' time, the lights will start to go out, so if we don't get it from nuclear, where's it going to come from? I suspect that actually in practice what will happen is that there may be a slight delay and there may be additional costs. The impact of this on us is, if you recall, that at Holyhead, if we get the planning on the marina, then we could have some of the workers who are actually going to work on the site. There'll be about 5,000 new workers on the decommissioning. Then they perhaps potentially could buy or let some of our properties. Mm-hmm. So we're still anticipating that's going to happen. But we can't really answer. One assumes that it means that everybody else go back to the drawing board and just make sure it's even more safe than they thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. And it has to be decommissioned and shut down at the end of 2012. So this is reasonably immediate.
Right, okay. Perhaps we could talk a little bit about the share buyback and valuation, because the share price is still at a steep discount to the end March NAV, which I believe was 154p. And I think that since your interims earlier this week, you've been buying a lot more stock, so you must be over the have bought back more than 10% of the shares. Could you?
Yeah, we have. I mean, I think we look at share buyback in a slightly different way than some people. You buy shares back for two reasons. Either some people may want to get the share price up, or secondly, you actually see you're buying at such a discount that the ongoing shareholders can actually improve their underlying NAV, which is the reason why we've been doing it. We've had one or two shareholders who, for whatever reason, didn't want to hold the shares anymore, so we've taken full advantage of that. We've subsequently, since we announced, bought over another 2 million back. We have approval from the shareholders to go up to the 14.999. If the shares stay at this level and the people who wish to sell the shares will carry on buying.
Okay, thanks. Because your peer group, including Max Property, London Stamford and others, often trade at, well, premiums or very slight discounts to NAV. Is the market waiting for further acquisitions, or is it struggling to pigeonhole Conigar?
I think it's rather annoying, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're both good companies run by good teams who have done quite a lot. They bought quite a few portfolios, and they've been quite busy. You know, we've taken a slightly different view that we feel the market was going to be difficult outside of central London, and they're outside of central London. And so we've hung on to our cash and waited until we felt that we could buy things at a minute or see things that we felt we want to get involved in. I think also that, you know, the stock market actually likes activity, and the stock market gets very bored with people who actually don't do an awful lot. And we've been really very patient, and our shareholders have been very patient with us. And also, it's difficult for people to understand Wales. We have a lot of value in Wales. Wales is a long way away. We haven't actually done anything apart from bought things and obtaining planning permission. We haven't actually sort of crystallised a final deal yet there. I think when we do, that will change. When we do a deal in central London or in our investment portfolio, a sizable deal, then I think things will change again and we'll get some activity. But yeah, we're a bit frustrated. I'm delighted for them that they're standing at premiums rather than asset value, and we hope that we will be sitting. But if we had our time again, would we do something different? No.
Excellent. Thanks for that. And you've spoken often about the opportunities ahead for a cash-rich player such as yourself to take advantage of distressed sellers. Is this still what most excites you about the coming 18 months or even soon?
I think two things excite us. One is that it's quite clear that there'll be a lot of mayhem in our markets, both property economically out there. People will have problems. And those who wish to move quickly with cash can seriously benefit their shareholders. I think we see that happening with effectively the deleveraging or the refinancing in that area. We also see, as we saw with Halford West, very exciting, being able to just go and buy some land. We did know what we were doing and that we actually planned the exit. If one can do that rather than just buy things cheaply, then I think that will make an awful lot of money for our shareholders, and it does excite us. There's lots of things out there today that are cheap. There's normally a reason why things are cheap. When we buy, we actually do want to know how we get out of it. So if some of the things that people are buying, I think they're going to end up holding for some time, because they actually, who are the next buyers? Who are they going to trade them on to? I think it would be very difficult. There's not a lot of banking out there. Things are going to be very, very difficult. So we are excited. I think the next couple of years are going to be great fun. And I think we're really going to benefit from it.
Excellent. Well, thanks for speaking with us today. Is there anything else you want to cover to close?
No.
Okay, thanks, guys. And we'll speak to you again soon. Cheers.
You've been listening to Meet the Management with Stockopedia News. For more podcasts and transcripts, please visit www.stockopedia.co.uk.